Saturday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Yes, it is. We are live. WCNO 89.9 FM. WCNO.com. Okay, troops, you're supposed to write this stuff down now. This is Educational Hour. I am Joe Martech, and I'm here to teach. And number one, if you're going to get taught, you need to write stuff down. Two things you need to write down. One is the phone number. And that is 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. And then the second thing you write down is WCNO.com. So just in case you're not where our radio is handy, you can bring us up on the computer. You can't see us, but you can listen to us because we stream live any place and every place. So my uncle in Michigan, he can be listening to us right now. Hi, John. That's my uncle's name, by the way.
Okay.
So, Aunt Marcia, she never listens because she don't like me.
She was your favorite aunt, though, right?
Yeah, only one, luckily. No, mm-hmm. That's not true. But I wouldn't know that she's my favorite, but I think she's 1 year older than me, I think, if I remember right. And just because her and I don't agree about anything, why would she like me? Exactly why. Right. You hit it. So Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm called a securities principal. I'm called a stockbroker. I have lots and lots of licenses. I think when I add up my securities licenses, there's 6, 66, 7, and 24. Those are the numbers. And what does that mean? That means I passed lots of tests. What does it continue to mean? It continues to mean that I have to take courses constantly called continuing education courses in order to stay licensed. And what's that mean? That means if I can't pass those tests, I'm probably fried and I shouldn't be working anymore. Does that make sense?
Well, it means you may be limited in your ability.
All the above. So, plus on top of that, I've got 4 state licenses, which I have to have, which I have to do continuing educations for those too.
And you have to renew those every now and then.
Well, they you know what happens is, I don't pay attention to when I am told via email, what kind of mail, by broker dealer, by somebody, hey, you got to do this by this date, you know, send money. It's kind of a coincidence that send money, they say send money, and now you should take it.
That's like a recertification.
Yeah, it's continuing education courses. In order to keep your licenses, you have to do that. So literally, I am licensed, as far as I know, to do just about everything. Now, you got to be careful. My compliance people say, Joe, you can't say you're licensed to do everything. I said, why not? She goes, we don't know. Just you can't say it. Because as far as I know, I am. But what happens is, not all broker-dealers. Now, broker-dealers folks are like Dean Witter, Smith Barney, Merrill Lynch, whatever it is. They're all, these are people that, these companies, and then all of us have our licenses with those. That's the rules. And then we are regulated by FINRA, which is a self-regulatory agency, and overseen by the SEC, the government. So there's multiple layers of stuff, but when it comes to the licensing and the continuing education courses, I think it's a good thing. If Dan was here, who's part of our group, who's an independent insurance agent, he has to do the same thing. He has to take courses regularly. But what happens is, we often learn something that we didn't know because they sneak new stuff in on you.
Well, there's a lot of occupations that have those kind of requirements.
Yeah, doctors and attorneys and
most, because laws change.
Yeah,
regulations change. You got to be up on that.
That's it. That's it. 1-888. Now you're supposed to write that number down and keep it handy by your phone, because you can't call unless you know the number. One. This is some logic, folks. Careful now. 1-888-221-8990. So give or take 2004, and we don't. Hey, I think maybe you think you see a light up. Is that usually a clue?
That's Connie.
Oh, we can't trust Connie, for Pete's sake. You know, she doesn't call. She just comes in.
Well, she called in a while ago.
She's late.
Well, that's because of a reason.
Well, it's always a reason. Do you know, this time? Now, forgive me. Those of you that are women out there listening to this, you will understand this. Those of you that are men listening to this, you will understand this. And that is, a woman has 1,000 reasons for not being there, being on time, not showing up, and they're all good.
Wait a minute, Joe, I got to say something here. The views and the opinions of the producer of this program are not necessarily those of mine.
Well, now, wait a minute. Okay, you are the producer.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just the board operator. You're the one that runs the show.
Oh, no. I thought I'm the doer.
Well, you're the one to blame.
Okay. Yes, it is true. So Joe Martek, being a stockbroker, a securities principal, et cetera, many, many years ago, in order to be what's called a credible professional, people like me have to associate, or should associate themselves, with other credible professionals. And the reason why is very simple. People have questions that I don't know the answer to. And my job, as I see it, is to help people make the journey of life in most aspects of their life that happen on a daily basis. So one of the first two members that came into the group was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And what happened was, those of you that lived in Florida in 1992 might remember a little hurricane called Andrew that wiped out a good portion of South Florida and caused major trouble with the insurance industry. So the topic of homeowners insurance became a big, big subject. And then many companies ceased doing business. Some were put out of business. And by the way, the state paid every claim for the admitted carriers. Once it's an admitted carrier, meaning the state approves them to do business, you have the state as your partner. Anyway, many companies, we guess around 13 or 12 or 10 or 15, were put out of business. Then existing companies, very often they would non-renew people, or they would charge them quite a bit more. So there was a monster upheaval in the business. And I needed an independent insurance agent that didn't work for one insurance company, that worked for the client that had multiple companies that he represented. And Dan, as of today, this morning, because I was saying he's 37 years in business, but I found out it's only 36. I hate to be wrong by a whole year. You know, at our age, a whole year is seconds. Rips right by. Anyway, he's, in my opinion, the premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Credibility in companies, what he does for people, the stories are phenomenal, and he's a good person. Then the next member of the group was Greg Fasula, attorney. Now, you might say, why in the world, Joe, would you want to have an attorney? Because they are a pain, and, well, we aren't going to say exactly where, because I'm not supposed to, because Tom would get mad at me, and I don't like Tom mad at me all the time. I'm willing to let him be mad at me some of the time. Anyway, so Greg Fasula, attorney, the reason I asked him to join the group was, he's the only attorney that I know that I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor, because he's just a flat good guy. He's got a good heart. He's patient. He's understanding. He's not pretentious. He's not arrogant. A nice person. And he's competent. And two subjects that I normally broach when I meet a new prospect or suspect is, are you ready to die? Now, there's a couple of answers to that, but let's stay away from the biblical sense and go straight into business. And that is, do you have a will or a trust? If you do not, you're going to cause your family quite a bit of grief. Now, normally what happens is, other members of the group are here on time, especially the ones whose offices are two blocks away. They don't have an excuse for being late. But this particular member is buying a new boat.
I was paying attention to a customer of mine, and I couldn't leave them high and dry, Joe.
And besides, he's checked on his boat earlier today, and he had to postpone the customer for a while.
Well, when you try to fit a whole day into 3 hours, that's pretty hard.
Well, you know what? You know, this is Florida, by the way. You know, we are Bahamian time, you know.
Not for me.
Not
mortgage time seems to go on forever and ever and ever, especially when you're paying a mortgage.
So Greg was the third member of the group, and then Mike Paulus, who just walked in late, who I would never pick on, he was like the sixth member of the group.
I was the last one.
You're
to come
the last
on board.
And how long's it been?
I think it feels like forever.
I know it does. I know. This is like marriage, you know. What do you mean you got married last year? It's been 30 years. I know at least, right? Anyway, so Mike is. What happened is, those of you of gang living in Florida that have lived through the debacle of this last recession, when all of a sudden the whole economy collapsed, and especially real estate, and especially right here, mm-hmm. Martin St. Lucie County seemed to be at the hub of everything that could go wrong with real estate.
Yes.
And then the newspapers, the media, television, radio, everything said, oh, there's no money, you can't get mortgages, you can't get this. And people, can you believe that people actually believe what they see or hear?
Well, I do admit, I mean, living through it, it did become quite difficult there for a while. But there were still programs available. I mean, yeah, you're right. The press made it seem like you had to put 50% down,
yeah.
You had to have perfect credit and perfect score. And they did tighten up the guidelines. But imagine this. Now you actually have to prove your income, and you have to be creditworthy.
Isn't that scary?
Yes.
You know, the old rules, folks, and I'm talking the old rules for years and years and years, was in order to get a mortgage, you had to prove you could afford it. Isn't that a weird concept?
Yes. You had to be able to pay it back.
You had to be. You had to prove.
Well, you know, Joe, I take that back. I've been doing this for 27 years.
Yeah.
And for as long as I've been in the business, there has been some sort of limited or no income verification loan.
Right.
But they made it responsibly. If you had a lot of money in the bank,
right,
and you were putting down a substantial down payment, you had good credit, and you've always had a history of paying your mortgage payments on time, then they would consider that as a no income verification loan. The problem is, during the crazy times, they just took that to the next level. Where they shouldn't have.
Well, here's what happens, folks. We have the called debt ratios, meaning how can I prove that I can pay? Well, I got a job making $100 a week, and I want to get $1,000 a month mortgage. Whoop, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough income to make this payment. Then you say, okay, well, I've got this $1,000 a month mortgage, and I make $2,000. Whoops, do you eat? Do you have to pay utilities? Do you have a car payment?
Or even pay taxes,
because
we
taxes,
use pre-tax
kids?
Income to qualify you.
All of a sudden, you have to have this ratio of income to debt that proves you can make the payment. Now, that's the old rule. Now, that's what we're back to today. But
yes.
What happens is, at some point, it was strictly based on a credit score or even less. And back now, part of proving you can pay is to say, are you paying your bills now? Oh, no, I just decided I'm going to start paying them now. I haven't paid them forever, but now I should, because I want to buy a house.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. You've got to have a track record. And if you don't, and you've had problems, you have to prove what those problems are and what are you doing to correct them. Now, this is all logical, right?
You know, it really has come down to a little bit more common sense in our industry. You know, there were quite a few people, thousands, millions of people who had difficult situation, financial situations during the recession.
Sure.
And as long as you can document, you know, what happened at that point in time and what you did to correct it, most importantly,
yes,
then they would certainly consider your credit.
Yeah.
Now, credit score is still a big issue. I mean, we still live and die by our credit scores, but we do have programs that would consider credit scores down to 580.
Yeah.
But they're going to ask you for an explanation, and it has to be a reasonable one, and they're going to ask you, what did you do to fix your situation?
Exactly.
And as long as that's a reasonable explanation and it could be documented, then you'll be fine.
Here's an example. You got sick, very sick,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't work for 3 months, 6 months, or whatever. You're in a hospital. So obviously you got behind, and then you got back to work and life is coming back to normal. And for a period of time, you've made every effort you can make to pay get yourself current, refinanced, negotiated with your client, your creditors. The whole thing is logic.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to loan Mike money, or Mike's going to loan me money, and I know Mike and Mike knows me, and hey, I trust you that you're going to pay me back. But if Mike all of a sudden is a drug dealer, And I said, okay, fine. I can't take illegal money, Mike. We got to have real money.
Right.
You know, there's certain things that are logical. Mm-hmm. That.
But you know, if you had a problem, if your employer went out of business right. during the recession, you were laid off and you couldn't make the payments, and that's a reasonable explanation.
Sure.
So as long as you're back to work and your income is fine and you can explain all that, then, you know, most lenders will have some kind of pity on you and do the mortgage.
When you mention these folks that got into a lot of trouble, I get notices almost every day in my mailbox, you know, refinance your house, pay off your credit cards,
sure, sure.
and all that. So someone, let's say they got in trouble, they lost their job, they've got a lot of credit debt, can they get refinanced, or can they the situation to correct the situation?
Well, as long as you reestablished yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if you lost your job, you had a foreclosure, and you know all your credit cards went into default, and maybe you're back on a job, but you never reestablished your credit, that's going to be a problem. You know, you have to reestablish yourself.
You can't walk away from it.
Yeah, but you can't use that loan. If this person, this man, this woman lost their job, they weren't able to pay their bills because of a lot of medical problems or whatever, yeah. and now they say, look, I'm back to work, I want to get this taken care of, you know, can they apply for a refinance, cash out to pay off the bills and correct their situation?
Probably not. I mean, if you're okay. so delinquent, because they're going to qualify you on what your current credit situation is. Mm-hmm. You know,
because I talk to people from time to time that are in those situations.
And, unfortunately,
let's just say they're trying their best to reestablish, and they're communicating with their creditors and putting a program together. Like a creditor might say, okay, fine, you owe $50,000 on this credit card. Here's what we're going to do. We were willing to settle with you for $10,000 or $5,000 or pick a number, and they'll work a plan out with you, and you start working the plan. Mm-hmm. That's better than saying, no, I'm not going to do anything. Goodbye.
Well, even if you took the initiative to file a bankruptcy,
yeah.
okay, you know, most people think you're financially done after a bankruptcy, and that's not the case. If you have a bankruptcy, you've done all the proper things, discharged all the debts like you're supposed to do, you take some efforts to reestablish yourself, maybe, and taking baby steps is the key here, maybe you have to get some secured credit cards, something small, $500, maybe a Capital One credit card or something like that. You reestablish your history. Once you do that for 3 years after a bankruptcy, you can get an FHA loan and only have to put 3.5% down. And not only that, you'll qualify probably for a 3.5% interest rate on that program.
See, what happens is it's the whole thing kind of flows to logic again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I prove to you that I can make this payment? When I've been a deadbeat and didn't do anything and I'm not paying anybody, well, now I got plenty of money because I'm not paying anybody. No, you can't use that. But if you had reasons, like you said, sickness, loss of a job, lots of different things.
Bad things happen to good people.
Oh, absolutely. 1-888-221-8990. So not only, and by the way, and back again, if you walk into your local bank and you say, hey, I want to apply for a mortgage, they'll say, okay, fine. I'm not saying every bank does this, but every bank I know does this. They say, okay, fine, sign this piece of paper, fill out this stuff, and we'll get back to you in 2 or 3 weeks and let you know yes, no, or maybe. Well, you might find out within 15 minutes that very same thing if you talk to Mike, rather than going through this 2 or 3 weeks and going through channels of other different people.
You're right. The big box banks, I mean, I don't blame them because they're the first ones to get picked on by the government.
Sure.
They're the first ones they get called on for discrimination.
Right.
So they're not going to make any decision right up front.
Right.
They're going to let it go through the process. They may take an application fee or they may take an appraisal fee just to find out 15 days later that, you know, you had a bankruptcy last week, you know, and
right.
you can't qualify. You know, a smaller company like mine, I'm going to run the credit report. I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to tell you what you have to do before you get to, you know, apply for a mortgage.
Yeah. So basically, let's say Mike runs, you're on the phone and he runs a credit report right away. And 15 minutes later, he says, okay, here's your problem. You've got this, this, and this that need to be cured. Here's the way to cure it. And it might take you 6 months or a year to cure it before you can apply to get approved.
No, we've had a customer, both of ours, that had the same situation. Wasn't aware that an issue arose.
Yeah. And here was a retired banker.
Yes.
I know, it's such a funny story. She's a trip, to put it mildly. But she said, "Hey, Joe, I'm going to go get a house." And I said, "I'm going to get a mortgage." And I said, "Well, hey, you know, you ought to call Mike." And she goes, "Oh, no. I'm a banker. I know what I'm doing. I'll go to my bank. I have no problem." About 3 weeks, month later, she called me up. "Joe, do you have that guy's phone number about the mortgage?" And I said, "Phil, what happened?" She goes, "I got turned down." Now, she had co-signed for a loan for a nephew, and of course the nephew didn't make the payments.
Right. And the, you know, the problem is that a lot of people co-sign for a lot of, you know, family members, but if the payments don't get made, they don't notify the co-signer until it's too late, until it's already showing up on their credit report.
Yeah, then that's exactly what happened. So it took a while to get her cured, but hey, she got her house and got the mortgage. You know, but here's what happens. There was a day, and I remember this many, many years ago, I could walk over to my banker and say, "Hey, Charlie, I didn't even have to go in. I could call him on the phone and say, Charlie, I need to have 10 grand in the bank." And he'd say, "Hey, no problem. I'll put it in right now, Joe. Come in the next day or two and sign a note." Well, those days are gone.
Yeah, that's when the savings and loans were around.
Yeah, right. Anyway, different rules. Today, with the current political situation and what's gone on to help the consumer has really made it 10 times more difficult for the consumer than it was. It's always been a lot of paper that you had to fill out, but boy, just in order to make the consumer safer and make it easier for him, they make it 10 times harder. That makes perfect sense to me.
You know, there's some things they put into effect that should have always been there, but there's some that there's no need for that, for it to be there.
1-888-221-8990. So members of the group are Joe Martek, financial advisor, Mike Polis, mortgage broker, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and two more, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor. Now, just so you know, when we all know who realtors, we all know who they are. In every occupation, I don't care what happens, there's good people and not so good people. Mm-hmm. There's people that work hard and there's people that hardly work. There's people that have credibility and people that don't. There's not a person alive, period, I don't care what industry, that works harder than this woman.
I mean,
she's got two speeds. She's working or sleeping. I mean, I swear that's just the
way. Well, one of the reasons why I was delayed here, because after our morning show, one of her customers called, and they're in some serious financial difficulty. And, you know, we spent probably an hour in the parking lot together, you know, trying to help this person.
Right.
And there was no financial benefit for Victoria in this. And she just spent like half of the rest of the morning, you know, trying to help this person.
Well, I will give you this, Mike, that, and when putting this group together, and I think you know that we are all monster believers in what goes around comes around.
Absolutely.
And it's been very gratifying to help people. Now, I had an interesting thing happen this week. Young man called up, make an appointment, and came in to see me in the office. And the young man came in a shirt and tie and jacket and looking pretty good, 19 years old.
Now, were you dressed as nicely as you are today?
No. Now, here's what, because you don't have a camera on right now, if I don't have appointments, my favorite costume in the whole world is shorts and t-shirt. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
Well, you look rather comfortable.
I am comfortable. Good. And that's when I'm the most comfortable. Yeah, otherwise I could look like Tom in a Hawaiian shirt. And you have shorts on today? You don't wear shorts.
I don't wear a knicker since I turned 10.
We'll let that one just sit right there alone, because there's different definitions for that depending on what nationality you are, what country you're in. But we will set that aside. Point is, the young man came in and he listened to us on a radio, and I think it was WCNO. Very, very personable young man. But the fact is, he wanted to learn. And I said, "You know, I'm extremely impressed with you." I spent, I don't know how much time, a good amount of time with him. And I said, "You know, you're in the learning phase. He's working a job. He's still in high school because he had screwed up. But he's trying to work himself out of this situation." Good Christian boy. And was very impressive. And some of my compadres in my place where I have my office, you know, over here in the Palm City Law Building, they saw this young guy came in. He looks like he's 14, and he was all the way up to 19. And they said, "What's that about?" And Nikki was telling him that, you know, the young man just was trying to learn. And one guy said, you know, that's really nice that Joe would take the time with somebody, had no chance of ever doing any business with him before Joe's dead, you know.
Because that might be right around the corner.
Because, yeah, because at my age, you don't know.
You're killing me, Joe.
Anyway, but I was very impressed, and I told him, I said, don't ever change your attitude. You know, understand this, in real life, there's tons of people out there that'll help you get from point A to point B, mm-hmm. or C, and the ones that don't are short timers anyway, because mm-hmm. everybody has been helped in their journey of life. You mm-hmm. didn't ever get where you are.
And it's easy to help some kid that has, shows some initiative.
Yeah, and it is. If you mm-hmm. don't show initiative, how are you going to help anybody if they don't ask? You know, yeah. you know, hey, getting turned down is normal. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, how many girls said no to us, Mike, as we were?
you know, we have a busy life. I mean, I, you know, in my business, I jump from one fire to the next fire, just trying to get through to the end of the day. And, you know, sometimes you just have to put 5 minutes aside to help people.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly. 1-888-221-8990. So, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, the most honest person alive, probably. Now, I pick on Victoria, but I says, you know, you're just not bright enough to lie. You know, because for her, she just won't do it because she has no memory. So she just always tells the truth.
You know, obviously, we do a lot of business together. She's in the real estate business. I'm in the mortgage business. But most of my referrals that come from Victoria are people she just runs into and just feels like I can help them in some way.
Yeah, yeah, and that's how she is. Yeah,
she'll
yeah.
give you the shirt off her back and she all always, the time in the world.
She's always been that way, and that's just she's just one of the better people you'll ever get to know. And then last but not least, Vince Rosino, who's donating money to a doctor today to make his Mercedes payments. The reason he's not here.
Is he okay?
Well, he's old. You know, you don't get old without having something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's okay. But, you know, I think it's a matter of maybe it's an annual physical. I don't know.
No, okay.
He'll tell me. If he's dying, he'll let me know. You know, it's not a big deal. We're all going to die. You know, if we lose him, we lose him.
he'll be missed, though.
He'll be missed. Vince, CPA, not only is he a CPA, he's a forensic CPA. Now, that's not the easiest thing to get. Forensic means he's an expert witness. The courts recognize him, whether he's testifying for or against somebody in court, as an expert witness. Those of you that have watched the movies or the TV programs, when they hire expert witnesses to come in and testify, sometimes they try to discredit them in books and movies and stuff, because that's mm-hmm. what you do. But Vince is he's very, very, very credible. Another just flat good person.
Sure. He's even taught some classes, right? He's
yeah.
taught at a
taught
university
level yeah. in New York, you know, some years ago. Guys, and here again, good heart, good mm-hmm. person. He helps people. Even if he is a New Yorker, you know, that, you know, it's
but so far it's hard to find a nice New Yorker, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, right.
And a nice attorney, right?
And a nice attorney. So we got the only two, I think, which is good.
Hey, but we haven't had any callers today. I wonder why that is.
Hey, you know, if I told everybody write the phone number down. You think they don't listen to me sometimes? Seriously, though, this is a talk show. You can call in. Anybody's got questions on mortgages, today's a good day. If you've got messages to do with finances. In fact, I was talking to a lady today who happens to work for Florida Power, who works all the time, who lives way out in Fort Drum, horses and stuff like that, that mm-hmm. I'm going to meet late Sunday afternoon. She's getting ready to retire. It's probably a year away. But we start the process of educating to make sure she's on the right path mm-hmm. so she can get from point A to point Z and make the fewest number of mistakes that are humanly possible. One thing that happens is that we don't talk about often is that if you're a widow or a widower and you're age 60, you can get on your deceased spouse's Social Security.
Now, does he have to be of age before he passed away?
No, he just has to be dead.
Oh, okay. So it's like a survivor's benefit.
It's a survivor's benefit. Now, technically, I think he has to be chronologically, if he was still alive, older than her, but he doesn't have to be 65 or 66. He just mm-hmm. has to be gone. And literally, the widow can get on the spouse's Social Security.
Or if there's any dependents, too, any children.
That you can get on even at a younger age, mm-hmm. before age 60. But 60, you get on Social Security. The benefit to the widow with children is a Social Security benefit, but it's for the children, and they pay that until they're 18 or 19 years of age, whatever the rule is. But one of the things that happens is, and she knew this, which a lot of people don't, she can get on her deceased husband's Social Security and let hers ride. And let's say she turns 70 and her benefit then is higher than the one she's collecting from her husband. She can then convert to her own benefit and collect a higher benefit. So
is there some point where she has to change over to her own benefit?
I don't know that, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think she can continue, because if you're a spouse with a living husband and you never worked, you get a spousal benefit anyway that might be half of his Social Security or some number. And
I thought they did away with that recently.
No, not if no, I'm talking, you're old now. You're over 65 or over 62 or over 66.
Have a wife that never worked.
Yeah.
She gets a benefit.
Yeah. Still can, but you got to be old. You can't do it when you're
young. Well, what was it they just changed about the...
Oh, that's if they're both are living.
If they're both living, they had a chance where she could get on a spousal benefit at age, well, I forget what it is, but it was under age 66. But you had to, there's a certain window that you had to fit.
The thing about suspending your benefit.
Yeah, suspending your benefit and getting on that one. And they changed that rule, and I don't know exactly what it is, but the reality is this. The government's going to change things constantly and not make it easier. Yeah. They're going to make it harder.
It's not going to benefit you.
Now, I thought I just understood you said that if a man who is living is drawing Social Security and his wife never worked, she can get a spousal benefit?
She has to be old. He has to be drawing full benefit.
Okay. But so, he doesn't have to be dead.
No. Okay. Now, if he's dead, she turns 60, then she can get his benefit, widow benefit.
Okay.
You know, but anyway.
So there's two different benefits there.
Oh, yeah. Living, dead, kind of dead. We haven't shot him yet, but we're thinking about it, dead. Anyway, 1-888-22...
Is that your wife you're speaking of?
How do you know? 1-888-221... That's why I don't keep a gun in the house. You know, I'd have been shot a long time ago. 1-888-221...
She'd get off too, Joe.
Justifiable homicide. We've all heard about that. Anyway, by the way, folks, Joe Martick is a Christian, very devout Christian. I just, in fact, one of my favorite clients that came from WCNO, I said, boy, I sure hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he said to me, he says, Joe, you know he does. He has to put up with you. So the concept of the group very simply is here to either make you money or save you money. And everybody in our group is just been a very blessed thing, very, very gratifying thing to have this group of local professionals that have all been in business a long, long time. I hope to die here, not necessarily soon, but if I go, it's not a big deal. Nobody will miss me for more than 5 minutes, maybe. You know, but hey,
every Wednesday I'll be looking, Joe.
Every Wednesday I come in to see Tommy, starts shaking because, oh, you're here again. Oh boy, isn't that how we start off? Something like that. All right.
Well, speaking of saving money, because Dan Warren, I just referred him one of my customers. This person was very on the edge of qualifying for the mortgage. Because when we qualify somebody, we don't really qualify you for a loan amount. We qualify you for a mortgage payment. And that's made up of your principal and interest, your taxes, and your insurance. So this individual had a really difficult time qualifying with the insurance quotes that he was getting. So I referred him to Dan. Dan was able to secure him a much cheaper policy. So not only did it save his money, but it saved him in getting the mortgage. Because now he qualified.
The key was, here comes that ratio of income to debt. And if you don't fit that ratio, guess what? You're not going to get that loan to buy that house. So normally Mike is going to work backwards with you, say, okay, fine, let's figure the income ratio to debt, and here's how much of a payment you can afford. This is what you'll qualify for. So now you have to find a house that fits that window.
Exactly.
So listen, and Dan has saved you more than one person.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of time. Yeah. He's bailed me out quite a few times.
Yeah.
Because he's got so many different carriers that he can go to. So, you know, and every carrier has an appetite, just like every bank has an appetite for a mortgage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, insurance companies, they may not insure, you know, properties east of Federal Highway, or they will do it at a, you know,
higher
huge
rate
expense.
Or whatever. Yeah.
So Dan has a lot of different carriers, so he can offer a lot of different programs.
I get a kick out of it. My girl Nikki bought her very first house ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always the first house is the most exciting, and she had to go through the qualification process. So, and I, she was talking to whoever it was, realtor, whatever, and it wasn't Victoria, and she's telling me as she's going through this things about, you know, the realtor said, well, you don't need to go do that yet. And I said, she's out of her mind. You want to get as much done ahead of time as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And one was insurance, financing and insurance. So she goes and gets information, and I had her go to Dan and get the quote for her homeowner's insurance. And then her dad, because fathers do this, said, wait a minute, you can't trust one person. You got to go to two more. So she did. And one said right away, okay, Citizens, which is the state pool.
Mm-hmm.
The second one said, no.
They just said no. They wouldn't write it at
all. Just nothing.
Right.
And Dan basically obviously got her insured for much less than a state would have done. And if she'd have had to go with the state program, she wouldn't have qualified for the mortgage. She couldn't have bought the house because of
her payment would have been higher.
Yeah, yeah. It was just that simple. You know, I'm probably the only person in the world that Dan hasn't done well for. You know,
well, that might be so. The way you drive, though.
Gee whiz, you think? Just because I had a couple accidents and a few tickets.
Well, it doesn't help that you drive in a red Mustang convertible.
Why? What did that got to do with it?
It's a magnet.
Anyway, yeah, they
for trouble.
His girl called me up and said, Joe, we went through 43 companies. Please. Don't have any more accidents and tickets. You know, we hate to lose you totally. You know, nobody wants you at all. But
well, maybe you should get one of those smart cars.
Yeah, right. Call a roller skate. 1-888-221-8990. So there's different subjects that come up. I talked to a school teacher this last week, and school teacher, fireman, they very often the county that they teach in will have a system for retirement that allows the people to convert that at retirement age to either a pension, mm-hmm. where they can get money, or they can take a chunk of money and go do with it something else. So I suggest to everybody they get all of the parameters they can from their employer, the school system, the fire department, whatever, and then take that over here and shop it and see, can it be done better on your own, mm-hmm. rather than going through their system? Very often, one of the problems with pensions, you drop dead after a year, that might be the end of the money and nobody gets a nickel.
Right.
Well, that can be a little bit of a problem for your heirs. They aren't going to like you nearly as much as when they could inherit some money.
Well, if they take a lump sum, though, wouldn't they get taxed on that?
Not necessarily. If they roll it, quote, and this is a setup that Mike did, by the way, he tries to keep me in line. You roll it over from that retirement plan into what's called an IRA, which is an individual retirement account. And the concept there is you now control that money, and you then control where it's invested. And it might work better for you to do that than it is to leave it with the government program, mm-hmm. or whatever the employer's program is. So the other side of the coin is while you're working, they have what's called a 401k. A 401k simply means the employer allows you to take money out of your paycheck and not pay tax on it and put it into a retirement plan.
Mm-hmm. But now, you usually don't have as much influence on where that's invested, though.
There comes the second problem. The first problem is if you take the money out of there before age 59 and a half, not only do you pay tax on it, but you pay a penalty because the government says any retirement plan, whether it's your own or whether it's a government-sponsored or a company-sponsored, if you take money out before age 59 and a half, there is a penalty, a tax penalty. You can borrow money under certain circumstances for on a 401k, but you still have to pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
But the object that Mike was going to, normally a 401k employer-sponsored has limited investment options. Sometimes it's 10, 15, 20. Sometimes they have some that say, hey, how much longer are you going to be working? If it's 20 years, we have a 20-year program, a 10-year program, a 5-year program. And I'm not saying they're good, bad, or indifferent, but the average person might be told one time what they are, but they're sure going to forget it because it's complicated.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's mutual funds. Maybe you don't approve of mutual funds.
Almost always they're mutual funds. And very often, too, they could be bond funds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, bonds, we're not talking savings bonds. We're talking corporate bonds. And very often, like right now, interest rates are at rock bottom. And if interest rates go up, these bond funds can be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there becomes a matter of education, and that's That's our biggest job, is to educate people so you'll make an intelligent decision. One, and you know what, folks? I've been asking you very nicely. Call. You know, we're sitting here, and believe me, if I hate to see Pastor Tom keep falling asleep because he's not doing anything. You know, I know you're trying to hold your head up with that hand, but you're not doing a very good job, Tom.
Oh, okay.
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990.
Now, if you take those funds and you roll them into an IRA,
yeah,
would you have more control? Can you put, you have more investment options open to you?
Hundreds, thousands probably, a myriad amount. So, and what happens is, you also, I think at this point in life, get a little more educated and a little more sophisticated, and you start looking at your goal, what you want to accomplish with that money and how you're going to accomplish it. Also, there are certain things that we can do with certain funds. We can put in stops and limits. Stops means, gee, what if it goes down 10%? Make it sell automatically. What if it goes up 10%? Make it sell automatically so I can take the profit. I was talking to a lady today. She said, boy, she bought some stock for $10 and got to $40. Now it's back to $10. Mm-hmm. I said, well, don't you wish you'd have sold it when it hit 40? She goes, no kidding. But, you know, point people get, they get greedy as it's going up. But you should have a preconceived idea at some point.
Take your profit, right.
Take your profit. At least.
And you can do combinations of those. You can have a sell if it goes up a certain percentage.
Yeah.
Or if it backs down maybe 2%.
Same thing. You decide at one time, and you can change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and literally, if you've got somebody you can work with that you can trust, that can help counsel you. See, with the power of the computer today, I don't have to stay awake 24 hours. I can plug that into the computer, and automatically, when the bell rings, it just automatically sells it or buys it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to take, you know, my favorite thing, Mike, are that right now I'm really not excited about the market. Unless people have a 20, 25 year horizon, then I believe the market will take care of itself and our political.
Yeah, because it averages out over time.
Over time. Mm-hmm. But if you've noticed, folks, and you may not, or if you're not paying attention, we do on a daily basis, mm-hmm. the market has been flat now for a year and a half, yeah, almost 2 years.
It's a pretty tough day today, though.
Yes, it was. We have a caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, Joe. I was listening to you talking earlier about spousal benefits if the spouse hadn't worked and the husband was of Social Security age?
Yes, yes.
I was wondering, I've been retired now. I'm 67. I've been retired now for a couple of years. But my wife is also up in age. She's 63. And she hasn't been working throughout our relationship. She's been a housewife. And I was wondering, is there any way that we could get some benefits for her, or do I have to just continue to take care of her until I'm dead?
Well, the answer is, if you're dead, she'd probably be better off because she'll get your Social Security, right? No, I'm picking. Okay. I'm picking on you. Don't listen to that part. Anyway, okay. here's what happens. You call uh-huh. poor Pastor Tom. He's sitting over here shaking his head, he's losing hair right now as we speak. When I do that, anyway, you call the Social Security. They are extremely uh-huh. cooperative. You give them your date of birth and your wife's date of birth, and they will pull numbers, make an appointment. You go see them, and they will sit down and show you options that are available to you. They're very, very, very cooperative. It's one of the smartest things you can do. Now, she may not be okay. old enough now to get a benefit yet, but I'm not sure she's not because she is 62. And that's the earliest uh-huh. you can get a benefit, but I'm not positive the spousal benefit if you have to be full retirement age or not. But one phone call to Social Security would probably give you that answer. And then uh-huh. if you give them the dates of birth, the two of you, and what your benefit uh-huh. is, they will look it up and they'll come to a conclusion, and they're very, very good today. In spite of the fact it's the government that usually doesn't really treat us well, my experiences in the uh-huh. last year have been very, very good with the Social Security Administration. Where are you located?
Okay.
Where are you located?
We're located in Lake Worth.
Okay. You call your closest office and give them the scenario uh-huh. over the phone and make an appointment, and they, take some time, and you'll be surprised what you'll learn and what you can do.
Okay, very good. I certainly appreciate your kindness. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. 1-888-221-8990. Yeah, I've gone in with clients to the social, because a lot of people are intimidated, but I got to tell you, they didn't need me at all. These Social Security people were really ready and waiting and had the answers ready.
You know, we require a lot of documentation. When you receive Social Security income, you know, we have to document, you know, how much you receive through your Social Security award letter. Well, almost nobody keeps those. And, you know, all of my experience with dealing them with them getting documentation has been positive as well. I mean, you're correct. They're great to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. Pastor Tom just looked it up on, because, you know, with the power of this, with the cell phones today, you can figure it out. He said, you got to be at least 62, the spouse will get a benefit.
And it says, even if you've never worked under Social Security, you may be able to get a spousal's retirement benefits if you are at least 62 years of age and your spouse is receiving retirement disability benefits.
Yeah. I wonder if that would reduce his Social Security.
No. And I know that for sure it does not.
And it says you can also qualify for Medicare at age 65.
You automatically even though qualify you've for Medicare at 65, period. And that's, you know, hey, look, you know how I feel about Medicare, which it's the most wonderful thing in the world for us old people, because, and I get my I'm a conservative, just to get that out of the way. But my friends that are extreme conservatives and really are just flashing up and down about, you know, being a conservative. And I said, yeah, if it wasn't for Social Security and Medicare, you'd be living up in New Jersey with your kids, because Florida would be empty. And you think about it, there's people getting $12, $14, $15, $1,600 a month Social Security, and Medicare, they take $110 a month out of your Social Security benefit to pay for your benefit. And now you can go get an HMO or a PPO that costs you nothing, that takes care of you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had to pay for health insurance at age 65, I don't care how healthy you were, it'd probably be $1,500 or $2,000 a month.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And the coverage wouldn't be as good under Obamacare as the Medicare is.
Yeah, but I know where you're going to go with this. You think it should be single-payer in general.
Yes, see, what happens is this.
The problem with that idea is that my income is subsidizing your Medicare.
It's only right. Hey, I'm worried about
but
me.
If everybody were on Medicare, then they couldn't do that. Who would subsidize everybody?
Okay, what they do is tax for it. You're
okay.
You're being taxed today.
Mm-hmm. To pay for you.
Yeah, to pay for me. You're being and you as an employer are paying double Social Security on you, and you're paying half of the Social Security on your employees, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then you are paying on the Medicare for you, and a portion that they have to pay for when it comes. Well, guess what? If you didn't have to pay for your Medicare and some of that, your health insurance would be part of that Medicare benefit.
Yeah, but you're assuming that that's going to be managed properly by the government.
Well, wait a minute. Let's just I know you're. I'm assuming, and we both know that it won't be. But we also know this: there's abuses, there's crooks. No matter what we do, whether it's regular health insurance, mm-hmm. whether there's doctors that take advantage of the system, mm-hmm. there's always people that are going to go work around the system and make abuses. That's why we have attorneys. Aren't you happy?
I just find that if it's a for-profit organization, they're going to look out for the shareholders of the company. They're going to try to reduce expenses.
Of course they are. But you still have to
remember. And that's why some of the health companies are getting out of this Obamacare.
The biggest one, United Healthcare.
Yeah. But you still have to understand this. Even in for-profit companies that are working for the shareholders, there are crooks in those companies too. Have you heard of a little company called Enron that went bust?
Yeah, but there's...
And there's other ones that happen.
When it's your money you're trying to save, you're going to look out for it a little bit tighter.
See, Mike's a young guy. He doesn't have Medicare yet. But I just feel it's discrimination.
That's okay. I'll continue to pay for yours, Joe.
I'm impressed. You're not paying enough because I don't, you know, but...
You want more, right?
I want more. You're
sounding like Bernie Sanders now.
Thank you. You know, just because Tom looks like Bernie doesn't, and of course I sound like him, but Tom looks like him. But that's not a bad, you know, you're a cross between Burl Ives and Bernie Sanders now that I think about it.
You need to get your lasses fixed.
1-888-221-8990. So let's talk about other things to do with money.
Okay.
I started talking about exchange traded debt. Mm-hmm. What happens is For the last 2 years, in my opinion, this has not been the 2 years to be in the market, period. Here's what happens, folks. If you own stock in a company, the company very often will pay a dividend if it's making good profits. And very often, if the company's value gets bigger every year because they're making more profit and they're expanding, very often the price of that stock will go up. Mm-hmm. Like, look at Facebook. If we'd have bought Facebook at 30.
Well, you can use Apple as a great example.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
It just got hammered in value.
But still, if we go back to when it started and we had stock from then, we would have made a fortune. Now, if we got out a year or two ago, we'd have made more of a fortune. But it might come back. But makes no difference. The way companies work, very simple, is if a company's making profit, their value usually goes up. If the company's losing money, they're usually their value goes down. Now, there's other mitigators that sneak in called interest rates, politics, national strife, international strife, all kinds of things, but just a simple rule. Now, there's another rule that I like very much, and that's called the price-to-earnings ratio, P-E ratio, we call it, price-to-earnings. So the price of a share of a stock is based on the earnings of the company. And there are these analysts that come up and say, hey, the price-to-earnings ratio, if it's at 10 or below, that's usually called a very good value. If the lower below 10, the better value it is. As soon as it goes over 10, it might be a growth stock that's going up rockets, and it might have a P.E. ratio that's 20 or 30 or 40, but it might be looking forward another year from now.
They're projecting the earnings for the future.
They're projecting the earnings for the future. But if you look at the total market today, if 10 is considered a good number, the total market today is between 20 and 22. That means companies are just not making good profits, and they are, the boat is full when it comes to the price of the average company. So what I've said simply, in my opinion, is don't go into market now. This is my opinion. And the reason is, at some point, this situation is either going to get better or worse. It's probably not going to stay right where it is. Companies, there's going to be an upheaval in our government, which we already know politically. We listen to it every day. There's big upheavals going on. Is that going to make a difference? We don't know. But it probably is not going to stay the same as it is right now. So in the meantime, what do? Well, if you go to the bank, banks are paying big money now.
Yeah.
You know, quarter of one, half of one.
And they're locking it up for 5 years.
Maybe a whole one percent. So if you had $100,000 and you put it in the bank and you got 1%, you get $1,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Now, the person that's retired, that's looking to supplement their Social Security and pension, if any, they're saying, oh, boy, I can get $90 a month. You know, honey, we can go out to a movie and have dinner, but we better go to Golden Corral. Forget the good place, you know. So the key is this. The debt instruments are monster companies. These are not common stock. These are either what's called preferreds, notes, debentures. You're a debtor. The debt instruments are paying 5 and 6% interest, and they're 100% liquid, which simply means I can buy it today and I can sell it tomorrow if I want to. The only ones I deal with trade on either the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. They're 100% liquid. Now, there are other types of investments, but each time the investment pays a little more, there's usually a little more risk. Mm-hmm. I've got some high dividend paying stocks that are paying 15, 16, 17%. Well, right now they're doing very well, but you have to understand certain parts of the economy, certain types of risks are good. These need to be paid attention to.
And everybody knows what goes up can come down.
So what happens is the word stops and limits become a big deal. And I usually tell a client when we're into these more volatile instruments, how much of a hit are you willing to take before you get out?
Well,
10% very often. If I paid $10 a share, let's say, if I can get it for $9, I might want to just get out when it hits that number. Mm-hmm. Okay, how much if it goes up do you want to get out? Ooh, Joe, I love going up. I'm not sure. And that's very often the greed motivation sits in. But I like these dividend payers that are paying high dividends. Some of them have to, by structure, have to pay out the majority of their profits. So they can make a great supplement for people in their retirement years. The debt instruments are 5 or 6%. I consider these no-brainers. Some of the biggest companies in America, including some of the biggest utilities, are paying very well. The high dividend paying stocks, there's different structures for those, and it takes a different mindset. I've had people very often that say, okay, Joe, here's $100,000. I'm going to put it into 5 or 6, but here's $20,000. Let's put it into the higher dividend paying stock. Mm-hmm. You know, to, you can diversify a bit.
Can you set it where, let's say you buy it for $10, and you say, I'm not sure where I want to get out if it goes up, but at any time that it drops 10%,
sell.
Get out.
Yeah, and that becomes what's called a stop. So you automatically plug that into the computer.
So you don't know what that value might be at that time.
You don't.
But it'd be 10% from lower than the highest value it ever achieved.
Well, no.
Yeah,
no.
You could do that as a trailing stop.
Yeah, but you got to, what Mike was just saying, you've got to constantly have what is called a trailing stop, which says, hey, let's say it goes from $10 up to 20, but then if it goes back down to 10, you want to sell it before it gets to 10 again.
Well, I want to sell it
at
if it goes up to 20.
19, yeah.
As long as it's going up, I don't want to sell. But if it drops 10%
yep.
of the highest value, I want to get out.
We can do that.
Okay.
You know, Tom, I like you. How much money you got?
None.
What do you mean? Christian Radio doesn't pay that much?
I'm broke.
But what's nice about the exchange trade at that is you don't even have to watch it because it doesn't fluctuate.
It's an amazing
very
instrument.
Little fluctuation.
Well, because it's not common stock, you have no interest in the company's performance. What happens is big pension funds buy these things, and they might put in $10 million in one day. Well, that might make it move 10 cents one way or another. But literally, because you don't have any ownership of the company, you're a debtor, these things don't have a big, big, big change.
And they just pay their interest quarterly.
Every 3 months.
Right. So you can get in at any time
yep.
just before they pay that.
Some of them you only have to be in a week. And you can collect 3 months worth of interest. I've often called this is like being Catholic. Don't ask questions. You just are one. Point is, I like the concept of these things. And every once in a while, when I get a sophisticated investor, Mike, I'll say, okay, fine. Here's what happens. Let's say we buy it at 25.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say after it pays interest, it goes up to 25 and a nickel. We sell it, and then I can move you into another one.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't that get costly with fees and whatnot?
Well, I don't charge a commission very often on some of these things. I charge a commission when you buy. I charge nothing when you sell. Now, some of my clients that I do this for regularly, it's a negotiation. Like, I just did one. He made $2,500, and I said, okay, how much do you want to pay me for making you that $2,500 that you've only owned for a month? And he says, how much you want? And I says, how much you willing to give me? He says, I'll give you $500. I said, okay, I'll take it. You know, point is, what I'm trying to do is make that client happy. At the end of the year, if I can net you 7 or 8 or 9% rather than 5 or 6, you're happy, I'm happy.
Exactly. That's a win-win situation for everybody.
Everybody. All right, folks, we're winding down. Tom is flashing cards at me. Tom's got these flash cards. He gets to use them on only me. And he just, you know.
Well, whenever a fly comes around.
1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. Mike, some parting words.
You know, we had this discussion this morning. A lot of people are under the misconception that you have to put 20% down on the house. We have programs with 100% financing. So, you know what? If you give a call, we can give you all the details of all the options that are out there.
Hey, folks, thank you so much. Tom has given us 8765. Can you count that fast? Until next week,
you've
thanks
been
so
listening
much.
To the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.